Blog Talk Radio.
Sportsaholics 24/7. I'm your host John. Joined with my co-host Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, John. How's it going?
All right. So Jordan and Brandon could be on today. So it's just me and Nick. So we have a few things to talk about. First of all, we're going to talk about the All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Weekend. Happened this past weekend. We'll talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel potentially being the first pick in the draft. We're going to talk about the best player in college basketball. Nick and I have different views on that. And finally, we'll wrap up the show since it is President's Week. We're going to talk about our Mount Rushmore of sports. So first of all, let's talk about All-Star Weekend. Nick, did you watch?
No.
I have not watched the NBA All-Star Game since I was 10 years old. It is an absolute joke. I refuse to watch. That entire weekend, I go without the NBA. It's just college basketball. It's that simple. I am never watching the NBA All-Star Game, and I was wise enough to know not to watch it beforehand. Now you've learned.
I, in years past, I've kind of enjoyed the All-Star Game. And I remember a few broadcasts ago, I disagreed with you when you said that the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend was dumb. But after seeing this weekend and how boring and awful it was, I 100% agree with you. There has to be something done. I mean, they tried to do something with the dunk contest to make it East versus West, and the dunk contest was the only good event left, and that was awful. There was maybe one okay dunk, John Wall's dunk over the Wizards mascot. That was decent,
yeah.
But nothing special. I mean,
no,
there are plenty of guys that could do that. And then the actual game, there's no defense played, no effort. There's no point.
Game.
There's no point. It's a pickup game, and that's not fun to watch.
And any effort.
Exactly. And then, the next day I'm watching, shows on ESPN, and they're using that game, the All-Star Game, in their argument to say who's better, LeBron or Durant. Like, shut up. No one – that means nothing. It's an All-Star game. They don't try.
It's a pickup game. That's what it is. Nothing more, more than a pickup game. And why should I watch that when there's college basketball games on, where there's kids playing for the love of the game, playing their hearts out because the games actually mean something? Why should I watch a pickup game when I could watch that?
Yeah, it's pointless, and the 3-point shootout was okay. Marco Bellinelli was impressive. I thought maybe Steph Curry would win. Joe Johnson, I'm a Nets fan. Joe Johnson was so disappointing. He didn't even get all the shots off in the amount of time that he had to shoot. Overall, we're both pretty disappointed. I'd like to know what Brandon thinks about this. We'll talk about the All-Star Game with him some other time. But now let's move on quickly to Johnny Manziel. And Nick, do you think Johnny Manziel deserves to be the first pick in the draft?
Yes, I do. I really do. He has the talent. He's an excellent football player. Now, whether he'll succeed in the NFL or not, who knows? But you could say that about any college football. You could say that about any college football player. Who knows if Teddy? You could say the same thing about Teddy Bridgewater. Who knows if he's going to perform well in the NFL? But as of now, and as of what I've seen, Johnny Manziel was an excellent college player. He's ready for the NFL. He may not perform that great his first year, But so far, it looks like he's ready, and he can prepare himself. And I don't see why not. He is a good arm. He's a good arm, and he can run. I don't see what the problem is with picking him first.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but he could be, for most teams in the NFL would pick him first in the draft. However, the Houston Texans, who have the first pick, I think there's a reason why they wouldn't. First of all, Bill O'Brien is their head coach, coming from Penn State. He runs a pro-style offense, needs a quarterback that can drop back and sling it around. Johnny Manziel can do that to an extent. He's more of a guy that creates plays with his feet, and he does have a very good arm, but he's not the most accurate of quarterbacks. So I think that's one reason why.
Yeah.
And second of all, there's just already been kind of this feud between Bill O'Brien and Johnny Manziel. I think Bill O'Brien called him out as work ethic. So I don't know. I think they should actually trade it down to the fourth or fifth pick, get that pick, and then maybe get a third-round pick or something from another team. Like the Browns, I heard the Browns might want to move up and try to get Johnny Manziel. That would be a good deal for them.
I'm going to tell you right now, it is in the Browns' best interest to get Johnny Manziel. He has an excellent arm, and if you put him with an elite receiving core, he can thrive under that. And the Browns lack a running game, and Johnny Manziel has led his team in rushing these past few years. So you kill two birds with one stone. I've been saying this since before the Browns said they were going to get Johnny Manziel. They listened to me. They listened to my words of wisdom. And the thing was, I mean, I do see your point about the Texans not wanting to get Johnny Manziel, because they are looking more for – they're not looking for a mobile quarterback as much. They're looking more for a pocket passer who drops back and throws because of their receiving core, and they're trying to strengthen their receiving core. Their running game is more from Arian Foster, and that's really their interest. They're not really looking for a runner. And I understand that. But Bill O'Brien calling out Johnny Manziel's work ethic is just wrong. That's why I'm going to say this right now. This is why I can't stand many football coaches, because Johnny Manziel worked very hard. He worked his ass off to get to where he is now. He's working training 6 days a week. He goes to a party once a week, and Bill O'Brien calls him out on that. And until he can provide the public with any form of evidence that Johnny Manziel does not have a strong work ethic, then he should just shut up, because that's not fair to Johnny Manziel. And in football, it's only like that in football. In basketball, J.R. Smith is getting drunk and playing in a playoff game against the Pacers with a hangover, and he gets away with that. But when Johnny Manziel goes to a party in the off season, he gets called out. It's not right, and he works very hard, and there is no evidence at all that he doesn't work hard.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And Bill O'Brien is kind of a very outgoing guy, not afraid to speak his mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he did cross the line with those comments. I personally think that he did, because, like you said, there's no evidence of Johnny Manziel not working hard.
Exactly.
Yes, you know, he's good friends with Drake. Yes, he goes to parties. But you know what?
So does every college kid.
I mean, they all do. Everyone does.
The reason why Johnny Manziel gets called after that is because of his status. You're going to tell me Teddy Bridgewater doesn't go to parties? You're going to tell me Kelvin Benjamin doesn't go to parties? They all go to parties. He doesn't have to completely devote his entire life to football. He's just devoting most of his life to football.
All right. Now we're going to move on now. We're going to talk about the Olympics, and in particular, Team USA Hockey. And to talk about hockey, we have a very special guest on, Eric Brubaker, a member of the Northern Highlands varsity hockey team. Eric, what's up?
Hey, Grove.
All right.
Hey, Eric.
So, first of all, how do you think Team USA has performed so far in the Olympics for hockey?
I think very well. I think going in, they were a big underdog, and no one even thought they would have a chance to get against Russia. It was going to be a clear blowout. And to win that way off a disallowed goal and then the shootout, it was pretty amazing. And then they easily beat Slovakia, and Slovenia obviously is god-awful. So, I mean, they've done as good as you could ask.
Now, next round, they're going to be playing the Czech Republic. How do you think the U.S. will fare, and what are some matchups to look for?
It's basically, I think they can win pretty easily, but the Czech Republic basically has a lot of NHL players, like half the Devils team, it seems like. Jaromír Jágr, Patrick Elias, Marcin Lichý. But, I mean, U.S. has Phil Kessel, Patrick Kane, Quick in the net, and if it goes to a shootout, you have TJ Oshie. So I think the U.S. has an easy win there.
All right. And last but not least, just your impressions of how, in general, you know, how the goalkeeping has been. I know that was a big, great job by Jonathan Quick in goal, and Ryan Miller also did a very good job last game. What do you think, how the goalie has been playing?
Yeah, I mean, to only let in two regulation goals to, like, the Russian team by Jonathan Quick is pretty amazing, considering they have probably the four of the best players in the world, so that was amazing. And then also in the shootout, everyone's talking about just TJ Oshie, but some of those saves were in the shootout were very good. So I think they've both done very well, but although Miller's only played in one game.
All right, now a final prediction for Team USA. How far will they go? Will they win the gold medal? Will they fall in the finals? Will they get third place? What do you think?
Well, I mean, assuming they beat the Czech Republic, they're going to have to play Canada. And the Canadians have struggled a little thus far, but, I mean, their roster is just unbelievable. Jonathan Toews, Sidney Crosby, John Tavares, it just goes on and on. So,
right, John Tavares.
the Islanders, baby. But, unfortunately, I think the U.S. is going to lose that, although they will be out for vengeance after 2010, and I think they'll take away the bronze. And then Canada, I'm going to go with for the gold.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. Eric Brubaker with his Team USA Olympic hockey predictions. Eric, thanks for being on the show today.
All right, we are, baby.
All right, now let's move on. Before we move on, just a quick reminder. If you want to call in with comments, questions, anything, the number to call in is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Now let's move on to some college basketball. And Nick and I were having this debate last night. The best player in college basketball this season. Now, for me, I think it's Doug McDermott out of Creighton. Nick, and I'll explain why in a few minutes, but Nick, who do you think is the best player in college basketball right now?
Wow. Well, I'll have to say either Doug McDermott or C.J. Fair. Because, well, now, let me just say this, though. It's very hard to compare C.J. Fair to Doug McDermott. Now, even though they're very similar types of players, one of the main reasons why you can't really compare them is because C.J. Fair has a much better team around him, while Doug McDermott is really just him. Who's the next best? Who's Creighton's next best player? Will Artino, Grant Gibbs? No, nobody even knows who these guys are. While Syracuse, they have Raheem Christmas, Jeremy Grant, Tyler Ennis. They have a stacked team. So it's hard to compare them. So I know C.J. Fair averages 16.5 points per game, while Doug McDermott averages 26 points per game. But what you have to do is you have to kind of switch their places. If C.J. Fair were on Creighton, how many points did he average? And if Doug McDermott won Syracuse, how many points did he average? So it's very hard to compare them in that sense, but I would say those are the two best.
All right. And also some people are going to argue Jabari Parker at Duke. However, I think he still has a little way to go. He's a great player. But one of his big advantages is that for Jabari Parker is that he's so big, both height-wise and size-wise, that he can get to the basket against anyone, but also he can shoot, too. So creates a lot of matchup issues. And Doug McDermott, I've been so impressed by him this season, averaging 26 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, about 2 assists a game. Creighton 21-4 on the season, coming off a blowout win against Villanova, and that game really solidified my belief that Doug McDermott is the best player in college basketball. He was unstoppable that game, 39 points against the 6th best team in the country, leading his Creighton Blue Jay team to a 101-80 victory, and I think that if you were to compare him to one player in the NBA, I'd have to go with Dirk from the Mavericks because they're big guys that can shoot. Doug McDermott is 6'8", 225 pounds. He can shoot. He can take it in just like Dirk. and I think Doug McDermott could have a bright future in the NBA.
Yes, I agree with that. But when you say that Doug McDermott, like, completely dominated Villanova and all that, let's be honest, Villanova's not that good this year. Who's their best
player? They were number six in the country. I have to disagree with you on that. They were six in the country.
They're still one of the top teams in the country.
They
don't have anybody good. They don't have anybody that good on Villanova. So the Villanova game, they're not a bad team, but I do think they're a little overrated. They don't deserve to be sixth in the country. I think that's a little bit ridiculous. Their best player is like James Bell. Okay, it's really nothing that big. But what I have seen with Doug McDermott though is tremendous talent and tremendous poise. It's almost as if he can play point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and power forward. That's what's so great about Doug McDermott, that he has the ability to let the game come to him. That was so great. And he wasn't even that famous last year. But this year, he really turned on some switch, and he's going to make the NBA this year. He might be the first pick. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know about first pick because there are some other guys that have more potential than him. I don't know. I don't think he's hit his peak yet, obviously, but you look at some guys like maybe Andrew Wiggins, like I said earlier, Jabari Parker. They could
Andrew
all go
Wiggins.
Number one. Maybe,
Andrew Wiggins does not compare to Doug McDermott. That's not even
No, I don't think they do either. But I'm just saying, if a team, whoever has the first pick, if they want a kid with potential, maybe they want to go for Wiggins. I don't know. I would pick McDermott first in the draft, I'll be honest, because he can score so well, and he can rebound. He's big, too.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, so is Andrew Wiggins, but McDermott uses it better than
Wiggins.
He uses
his size very, very well.
All right,
so once again, just call in with any questions, comments. 347-884-8496 is the number to call in. Once again, 347-884-8496. Yeah, sure, we can touch on St. John's. Now, Nick,
yeah.
You're a big St. John's fan.
Yeah, I'm a
I actually saw them play this year against Georgia Tech at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and they were impressive. They have a lot of guys that can block shots. Not a lot of great shooters, but you look at a guy like D'Angelo Harrison, who is
a very good scorer.
Amazing. Yeah.
D'Angelo Harrison
is
their best player.
Oh, by far, yeah. And then you have guys like God's Gift Achiuwa and Chris Obekpa, two big guys down low who can block shots. Do you think they'll be a tournament team?
As well as they've played, they have a shot, but probably not. I don't think they'll make it. I don't see it happening. I don't think they're quite strong enough. Yes, D'Angelo Harrison has been playing excellent. Obekpa's been playing excellent. And they are, in Brandon's words, a complete team. But are they quite strong enough? One of the main problems is that D'Angelo Harrison's their really only jump shooter. Jakar Sampson, he could shoot from the outside a little bit. He can get down to the paint a little bit. Rashid Jordan, he can handle the ball real well. He can distribute. He can drive. He can shoot a little. But he's still very young, and he still is not smart. He still doesn't have the smarts or the poise exactly to be the starting point guard of an NCAA tournament team. So, but although next year, Rashid Jordan, I see him getting much better. I don't think he'll make the NBA. I don't think anybody on St. John's is making the NBA, to be completely honest, not even D'Angelo Harrison. But they could be a very successful team this year. But I like that they have Chris Obekpa down low. They have Jakar Sampson at small forward, D'Angelo Harrison at shooting guard, and Rashid Jordan, who is an excellent distributor at the point guard position.
And obviously St. John's coming off that blowout win against Georgetown, winning by 22 points. I know, Nick, you've been wanting to talk about St. John's for a while. Now let's move on to most likely our final topic of the show. We have just over 10 minutes remaining. We're going to talk about, since it is President's Week and President's Day was yesterday and everyone's talking about this, Mount Rushmore, like the Mount Rushmore of each sport. LeBron's been saying he made his Mount Rushmore of basketball, basically like the four best basketball players in NBA history, and we're going to make our own. So first of all, let's just start with all four of the major sports, NBA, NFL, NHL, and you got MLB. Nick, what is your Mount Rushmore?
Well, NHL is easily Wayne Gretzky. MLB is easy, Babe Ruth. NBA, got to go with Michael Jordan. NFL, that's the hardest one, but I would have to go with Joe Montana because the quarterback position, he's the best quarterback of all time. We could all agree on that. And the quarterback position is viewed as the most valuable position in football. So I would have to go with Joe Montana.
Football, again, for me, same with you, is the toughest to choose from. I think hockey, obviously, Wayne Gretzky, greatest hockey player of all time, not even close. Baseball, I think Babe Ruth, but there are some other guys you can put up there too. Maybe, I don't know, Hank Aaron. There are definitely some very good baseball players. Basketball, again, kind of tough, but I have to go with Michael Jordan. You can maybe put Kareem Abdul-Jabbar up there, a few other guys. And then football is the toughest. I'm really torn on this one because there's so many great running backs, so many great quarterbacks, there's so many great players, so many different positions to choose from. So I think I'm going to have to go with the quarterback because when you look at a team individually, the quarterback is the leader of the team. He's the figurehead. And if you have the best quarterback in NFL history, Joe Montana from the 49ers, he'd be the final piece of my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And now another
topic was the Mount Rushmore for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. This
what's
is a very
yours?
Tough one. Because there's so many great Yankees. I think you'd have to put Babe Ruth on there.
Oh, absolutely. He's the greatest baseball player of all time.
Yeah, definitely Babe Ruth. Joe DiMaggio. These last two are hard because you can go with some older guys or some newer guys. And one guy I think that deserves to be on there is Mariano Rivera because he was the best at what he did. He was the best closer in MLB history. I think you have to put Rivera up there. And do you put Jeter up there?
No. Jeter was great, but you're going to put him ahead of Mickey Mantle and Lou Gehrig?
Honest, I think I will. I'll put Jeter up there.
Why does Jeter deserve to be up there compared to Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle? Stats don't compare.
All right, well, I think for me personally, growing up now watching Derek Jeter and being a Yankee fan, he, for over a decade, has been the leader of this team. He's been so consistent. And I'm not saying guys like Mickey Mantle or Lou Gehrig weren't consistent, but Lou Gehrig's career was cut a little short, and obviously that's not his fault. But
no.
I just think Derek Jeter is I don't know. I just see him up there on my Mount Rushmore. I'm just envisioning it right now. Derek Jeter's up there.
Listen, I'm a big Derek Jeter fan. I love Derek Jeter. He's a great player. But when you look at it in terms of who is the best on the Yankees, I'm sorry, Derek Jeter does not quite fit it. If there were five or six people on Mount Rushmore, Jeter would be on there, no doubt. But I'm sorry, he doesn't compare to Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, or Joe DiMaggio in terms of their offensive stats or anything like that. On the defense, they're all about on par. It's safe to say that. Now, it's no disrespect to Derek Jeter, but when you look at Mickey Mantle's Joe DiMaggio's stats, he had more home runs. He finished his career with a higher batting average, and he had more RBIs. I don't see how Derek Jeter is up there with Joe DiMaggio.
All right. Well, we have a caller right now. Let's get him
okay.
on. All right, thanks for calling in, Sportsaholics 24/7. Who do we have here?
Bob the Builder.
Okay, Bob, what's your question, comment? What do you have to say?
What do you guys think about Bill Russell's response to not being on LeBron's Mount Rushmore?
All right, well, for our listeners out there, if you guys haven't heard, LeBron named his basketball Mount Rushmore, and he left Bill Russell off the list. So at the All-Star game, Bill Russell was there, and Bill Russell said to LeBron, basically, you know, check the stats. I deserve to be up there. So, Nick, do you think Bill Russell was right in saying that? Does he deserve to
be up
there?
Hell yeah, he was right. Listen, I don't like the Celtics at all, but I would have to say Bill Russell is one of the greatest of all time. He absolutely – he won 11 rings and was dominant. Now, I'm not saying he was good as Michael Jordan because he had a great team around him, but if you win 11 rings and you're one of the main – if you're basically the main sole purpose of it, then how could you not be up there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this,
I mean,
LeBron James – yeah. Yeah, LeBron said his Mount Rush, LeBron's Mount Rushmore included Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Oscar Robertson. He left off some guys like Kareem, Bill Russell, Will Chamberlain. There's so many guys in the NBA, just like the NFL, that it's really tough to narrow them down. But I think if you look at Bill, like, I'll say this a lot. I say a lot, numbers are overrated. Because
they are.
With numbers, you can say a guy that like Robert Horry, who won like 5 championships, is better than LeBron, who hasn't, who has won less. But
that's like saying Trent Dilfer is better than Dan Marino because he won a Super Bowl.
Exactly. However, there's a certain point in time where you have to look at someone's numbers and say they deserve to be recognized. And Bill Russell winning 11 championships. Yeah, he had a few good players on his team. But 11 championships is incredible. That's beyond comprehension. Like that cannot happen in today's age. And he was so dominant. You know, obviously I was not allowed to see him play. But watching some of his old highlight videos, he just ran down the court. He could dribble. He had an okay hook shot. Best shot blocker of all time in my defender.
He was the best defender of all time. He was not all that strong offensively, but he controlled the defense. And, you know,
100%.
Bill Russell's famous saying, defense wins games.
Yeah, defense wins championships, too. And clearly, Bill Russell showed that 11 championships in his career. So my next question for you is, we have just over 2.5 minutes left in the show. By the end of his career, and this is just a prediction, we don't know this yet, but will LeBron James be on your Mount Rushmore?
Wow. That's very hard to tell. Because the thing with Mount Rushmores is that they're all so subjective that it's so hard to tell, and I'm not Nostradamus, so I can't see in the future. But there's a good chance that he would be. I mean, but in terms of ability and in terms of potential, LeBron is amazing. I mean, keep in mind, he has more natural ability than any other basketball and than any other athlete within their sport in the history of sports. I've never seen anything like it. He has more natural ability than Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Kareem, not to say that he's up there with them, but he has as much natural – he has more natural ability than them. Whether he'll work up to it or not is up to him. The only guy who knows if LeBron can get up there is LeBron. We can say what we want. NBA analysts can say what they want, but our arguments are basically irrelevant. It's up to LeBron, and he's the only one who knows.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, too, I feel the same way as you. It's really – it is subjective. Everyone's going to have different opinions because there are – about 9 to 10 guys that you could have up there for the NBA on the NBA Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And it is up to LeBron. If he wins some more championships, if he keeps playing at the level that he is, then I think so. However, one thing that will always – it won't tarnish his legacy, but people will kind of look down on him. The way that he almost bought the championship by going to the Heat, playing with Wade and Bosch and now Ray Allen and Mario Chalmers, so many great players that, you know, people can question with, like, validity, was it LeBron or was it that his team was so good?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to keep that in mind because, although, I mean, you can say the same thing about Bill Russell, but Bill Russell won 11 rings with other players on the team. But Michael Jordan basically did it alone. Yes, he has Scottie Pippen, not to discredit Scottie. But LeBron went to Miami Heat probably because he knew he couldn't do it on his own. Let's be honest. Could he have won in Cleveland? Probably not, to be completely honest. Probably not because he was the one who wasn't psychologically ready. He had to know that he
Wait, Nick, I have to cut you off. The show's ending in a few seconds. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.